to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
So it's interesting, the word I'm going to share this morning, I actually preached for the very first time last weekend in Frankfurt. And I actually wrote this message in January. And I just put my pen down and I got a phone call from the hospital and said, Jen, we have a cancellation, will you come in tomorrow? And then I had surgery the next day. So I never got to preach this message. And in the light of what's happened in the world since, and in the light of what has happened 30 miles from here, it's amazing that I'm actually preaching this message now. God held it in the palm of his hands. And I believe as I'm speaking this morning, this message, that God is encouraging us, that he knows the beginning from the end. Is anybody with me? That in the crisis that is happening in the world right now, God has never even stood up. Jesus sits on his throne. Come on, somebody. And he is enthroned over the affairs of men. He's enthroned this morning. So I'm going to start this morning by playing you a clip of one of the most epic speeches ever. And I won't have to move because the screens are on either side, aren't they? So this is Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. Wow. Allegedly. Have we got it? I'll tap dance, but I can't.
We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And I tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the fall.
Wow, what an iconic speech. What an iconic speech. But you know, the reason, I have a real reason for playing this morning, because I believe it speaks today, is iconic. But it speaks to the blight of our age, and it speaks that the belief that good can actually triumph over evil. And I want to prophesy that today, that good will triumph over evil in Jesus' name. And you know, often our mouths give lip service to our beliefs, but our spirits have become wearied by the battle of the age. and by the constant attack of the values that we as Christians hold dear. But God speaks today to the fatigue of our spirits. And I want to speak to you today to this pessimism and the cynicism and the fatigue that the enemy comes and tries to land on our spirit. You'll think she's preaching hard already. I have something to say. I have something to say today, because the enemy would try to come and tell us that we do not have the victory. And the enemy would try and come and tell us that we should be cynical, and that we should be pessimistic. But our God speaks that he knows the beginning from the end. And that our God speaks today that in the end our God triumphs. And our God speaks today that he has not even for a moment taken his hand off the pulse of the universe. And he has even not for a moment taken his hand off the pulse of your life. Because he stands strong in your regard. And he stands strong today in regard of his church. And he says, nothing shall overcome the power of God and the power of our Lord Jesus upon the earth. Somebody give him a hand of praise this morning. Our God says that his church will not be overcome, that his purpose on the earth will not be overcome in Jesus' name. And we could all go home right now. Just with those words. Amen. He speaks today, as it was says in this speech. And I believe today he wants to take our spirits from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. From the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And today, he reminds you that the truth is that you do reap what you sow. That the great tussle between heaven and earth is indeed won by a God so strong that he paves the corridor of eternity with his love. And he speaks a word today over helplessness. He speaks a word over fear today. A fear that's trying to grip our society. I found myself, I was preaching in Calgary in Canada sometime in the last month. I'm not really sure. Do you know, I woke up the other day and God keeps reminding me just not to curse what you prayed for. But I was in my own bed and I couldn't work out what country I was in. That's just craziness, isn't it? Where am I? Anyway, it's all good. He speaks a word over fear. He speaks a word over discouragement today. He speaks a word over hopelessness today. And he reaches down from heaven with a mighty deliverance. And I'm believing today that we will have a miracle deliverance from the oppression of pessimism. Our society is so pessimistic, but we as Christians have a hope that is so strong. And we need to be reminded today that the hope we have is so incredibly strong. For I do believe that my God reigns. Yes. I believe that he lines the corridors of time with his power, that he holds the universe and my world together. And he comes today for a great deliverance in Jesus' name. Do you know, I'm believing out of all that's gone on for a move of God across Europe that we have never absolutely even dreamed of. The word of God says that he gives us beyond what we could even ask or imagine. I'm believing. When I was in Germany last weekend, I said to Siobhan, I feel something in this nation. There's going to be a move of God in Germany. Who would have thought there's going to be a move of God in Germany? But you know, we live our lives. Don't worry, she'll calm down. And then I'll get you between the eyes at the end. So you can relax for a little bit, church, just for a bit. So, you know, we live our lives through a lot of filters, even though we don't realize we live our lives through filters. And so, for example, one of my filters is I'm Australian, okay? Even though I've lived here 26 years, me bones are Australian. And the directive is that when I die, my ashes need to be scattered off the coast of the Queensland coast so I get some sun after I'm dead, right? But one of my filters is I'm Australian. And so what that filter does, you're interested to know, aren't you? Yeah. So what that filter does is that if I like you, I mock you. Because that's what Australians do. The more they like you, the more they make fun of you. Americans do not understand that. So they sort of have, if you're American, God bless your heart today. But you don't understand that that's a how us Australians, that's a filter, right? I have a female filter, which basically means you will never understand us and we will never understand you. And then I also have a filter. My major personality type is choleric, right? So you know when you do those personality test things that Dave mentions often? So I came out at 85 choleric, like mental, right? 85 choleric, about 10 melancholic. The rest was phlegmatic and zero sanguine. So I'm working on my party animal. But my choleric filter is so strong that when I'm at home, Dave says to me, Jen, would you turn your leadership button off, please? Because, like, I just lead. I'm like, and it's hilarious. We have these battles in the car. And, like, the other day I go, there's a parking spot, Dave. And so he deliberately parks in another one because he's the leader in the home, right? It's hilarious. So these are the filters. And we live through filters, even if we don't realise we're living through them. And so I'm going to talk to you this morning from the life of Moses. And when God promised deliverance through Moses to deliver the people out of bondage, the people measured their response through filters that they'd consciously or unconsciously embraced over a long period. So let me read to you this scripture from Exodus 6, verse 6 to 10. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of Egyptians. And I will bring, so he's promising all this stuff, and I will bring you to the land that I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites. Listen. But they did not listen to them because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. So their response to God's promise was through a filter of discouragement and years of bondage. And so they found it hard within themselves to open up their spirits to God's promise because all they had known was discouragement. And all they had known was a bondage of slavery, a yoke. And I'm believing today in this house that that yoke, those filters that hold us subconsciously and consciously bound, God's going to lift them off us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The word says they did not respond to God because of these things. And we begin to come and accept the status quo of our experience rather than reaching for the impossible. We begin to believe what is said to us through our community. I was sitting in this cafe in Calgary and I heard a siren. And for the first time in my life, I thought, am I okay? And I thought, I've got to stop that filter right now. But God has not given me a spirit of fear, you know? And we can find ourselves living as God's people in a spirit of fear because of what's going on around us. We need to speak to that filter and speak to our community. Amen? In Jesus' name. I'm going to rush because we're running out of time. We've got to stand out as people that actually believe what God's promised. That he is a God of miracles, that he is alive and well, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know, I remember subconsciously at times we can take on what is around us. You know, we can take it on. And we've got to throw off the cruel yoke of bondage. You know, because of my birth and my background, and I was born as a baby of a gang rape and given up as a baby, adopted at 10 days old. There's a filter in me that says you are rejected. And I've got to watch that filter for my entire adult life because there is a natural, you know, we have an enemy and he's not a nice guy. And he wants us to believe the filters that we automatically fall back into. And we've got to guard our lives, come on, with the Spirit of God and put a hedge around ourselves that we don't allow ourselves to fall back into them. We begin to embrace the blanket of pessimism as a weapon, just waiting for Jesus to return. And I don't know about you, but my Bible says that God returns for a victorious church. He's not coming back for a cynical or a pessimistic church. He's coming back for a victorious church. It says in Romans 5:17, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? You are not meant to be pessimistic about life. You're meant to reign over life in Jesus' name. And I'm believing today that something's going to switch in our souls. Amen? So, in this, I'm just going to have a swig. Talk amongst yourselves. So in this story of Moses, the scripture says, Moses says, go tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites out of the country. I've got all these funny stories in my notes and the time's going down, but I have to tell you this one, okay? Now, we all enjoy a good go tell, don't we? You know, like, and I have a friend called Leah Chilengwe. I'm going to name her and shame her. And she has a bit of a, she has an issue. And her issue is road rage. And so I was in the car with Leah preaching in London one Sunday, right? It was a revelation. Were you with me? It was a revelation, wasn't it? It was a revelation. So somebody pulled out on this little side street in front of Leah, right? And, you know, we've all gone, oh, jog on, you idiot, inside the car. Yes? Inside the bubble of the car. Leah pushes the electric window down, right, and pulls up beside the guy, right, and is ready to go for it, right? I'm like, Leah, stop it. Stop it, Leah. Stop it. Move on. Drive on, Leah. Drive, 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 drive. You never know who might get out. And it was just a hilarious moment. But Leah, in another sense, has an incredible ability to go tell in the presence of God. She might, you know, she needs to deal with that road rage one before somebody slaps her, right? Or before she gets 12 points and a license and can't drive anymore, right? But she also has an incredible ability to go tell in the Spirit of God. She will stand up in His Spirit and she will fight things in the Spirit. And we become too passive as Christians. We let stuff just run by us. But it says here in the Bible that God said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh. It says in Exodus 14, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you to today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell. He says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch, it says. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And you say to me, Jen, well, I thought this was all about crying out to God, but it's about you speaking a word over your cruel bondage. It's about you standing up on the inside of your spirit and go tell. It's about you today taking up the weapons God's given you, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the word of God, and beginning to stretch and saying, go tell over the cruel bondage over your life. You've literally got to say to the enemy, stand down in Jesus' name. Move on, not on my block. Hello, anybody awake? It's time to go tell. We have to take the power of the word of God on our lips and declare our deliverance over cruel bondage. And we're going to walk, I believe, people are going to walk out of here today and stretch in faith and pursue stuff like they've never done in their lives. This is not a nice Pastor Jenny, stroke your spirit, go home and have a Sunday roast. This is, come on, we need to equip ourselves. Church of the living God, we need to stand. We need to stand and take authority over what God's given us authority over. Because otherwise we just sit there and let the world go by. Hello, anybody awake in Hope City, Liverpool this morning? Come on. So, it's interesting when we get to this position in our lives. In Exodus 14, I'm going to read you one more passage of scripture. Then the angel of the Lord, so the Israelites were at the edge of the sea. They had the Egyptians behind them and impossibility in front of them. Anybody with me this morning? You've got Egyptians behind you and you've got impossibility in front of you. And then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew. Gee, thank you, Holy Spirit. Just when the Egyptians are behind me and the sea is in front of me, you withdrew. Gee, thank you for that. And he went behind them. And the pillar of cloud also moved from in front of them and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Now, for 40 years, all they had known was the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud in front of them. And suddenly, the position of God changed. And when we find ourselves, as we do in society and often in our personal lives, with the Egyptians behind us, an impossibility in front of us, and we say, where's God? Do you know what? His position's moved. Yeah. And this is why. He's standing behind you, protecting you from the enemy. And the reason he's not standing in front of you right now is because he wants you to stretch. He wants you to stretch. He wants you to go tell. And you've come to church this morning and thought, I can't even see him right now. That's because you don't have eyes in the back of your head. He's standing behind you and he's waiting for you to take authority and take a step. He's waiting for you this morning to stretch out of that sea of impossibility and go tell. He's waiting for you this morning to stretch out the authority that he has given you. The word of God says that the word of God is the same as in your mouth as it is in his. He's waiting for you to take up your authority this morning and stretch, to go tell, to speak over your future, to speak over your world, to speak over your dreams, to speak over this house, to speak over the things you hold dear and bring the word. Is anybody awake with me this morning? God wants you to stretch this morning and to go tell in Jesus' name. Things change when you begin to go tell. When you speak a word to write your attitude and your faith life. We see here the position of God has changed. He's not wanting us to accept the status quo anymore. He's wanting us to stretch. There is a change in the spiritual climate when you go tell. And God changes his stance and his position. And when you stretch, he brings about an incredible victory. He wants to give you a miraculous deliverance from bondage. God hasn't disappeared. I wonder if the musicians will come back. How much more time do I have, Dave? The clock's disappeared. 10 minutes. Beautiful. Okay. Because we're going to respond to God today. It's deathly quiet in here, I have learnt. That's usually because you're listening. We're going to stretch the sword of our spirits today. Amen. I want you to stand with me, church. For those of you that have enjoyed the wonderful Liverpool view today, look at me now. It's time to stretch. You know, I've had to stretch in the most incredible way. Suddenly my life has changed and it's become psycho. But every step I've taken, God has equipped me. I've never had more energy in my life. I'm fine. I'm good. I live on an aeroplane. I'm good. I live with jet lag. I'm good. Do you know, we preached in Canada, Dave and I, and we're back for one day. One day. and then we had to go to Europe. I'm fine. Because I've stretched. Stretched. You got to go tell. So we're going to sing, and I can sense the presence of God. Right, it's just settling here. We're going to go tell. I can't go tell for your go tell. You need to do your own Leah Chilengwe to your world. You need to do your own stretch in the spirit. You know, I can't do it for you. I do it for your church because I pray all the time for Hope City Church. But you know, you got to stretch. So we're going to sing. We're going to invite the presence of God. Are you ready? And then you're going to begin to prophesy today.